This is Universal Soul Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
And this is Detective David Love.
Welcome to our show. I hope you're all well today. We're going to be talking about an interesting topic today, the relationship between people, humans, us, and the rest of the universe, entities, other souls and spirits.
That's right. The hidden universe, the invisible universe, unseen beings, channeling, mediumship, spirit messages, all kinds of interesting stuff. We had a workshop with Michael Tullinger that we attended over the weekend.
So interesting.
We ate lunch with him, dinner with him last night. We spent a lot of time talking about various things related to...
Of course, Michael Tullinger is the author of Slave Species, so it's very relevant. Michael Tullinger is, I guess you could say he's an advocate of humanity and knows a lot about past civilizations and how humanity has been enslaved from the very start. So,
at least that's the theory, and I do believe that's the underlying theory of many religions. Unfortunately, we couldn't have. He happened to be in Sydney this past weekend.
So we'll probably have him on the show, maybe next week, the week after. But I guess it's a very good place to start with to talk about the origin of humanity, because our relationship with our entities very much related to that.
And it's been very much a part of my life for decades, spirit communication, and I attended a spiritualist church for many years in Florida, and did a lot with mediumship circles and my own years of meditation, and I've had several out of body experiences and seen unusual entities that I couldn't explain as to what their natures or what they are, but I have my own ideas, and I know many people in our network are interested in and do channel, and we've had many mediums and channelers on our show, including Patrick McCormick and Margot Mateus and Intuitive Lauren Weiss.
I wonder how many people
Elizabeth Joyce.
I wonder how many people channel and feel and see entities. It'd be interesting to do a study. I'd probably say 10% of the population sees ghosts and has some sort of clairvoyancy. In terms of channeling, we're probably looking at, 1% of the population, 2%? I'm not sure. Of course, they say that we're all awakening now, and so I would imagine that more and more people are awakening and becoming aware of the hidden
universe. Guides and higher sources of information, inspired channeling and writings. And of course, I forgot to mention that we were supposed to have... David Uriah Labira on our show today, Eagleheart, who's also a channeler. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it due to a scheduling conflict, so we had to quickly change our programming topic today. But
he has a loving message to give to everyone, and he also channels. Yes, so that's there's certainly a theme that connects all of this.
Yes.
One of the reasons we thought this theme would be interesting is it raises the issues of sovereignty and boundaries. Are other beings allowed to influence us? What do we do about that? How do we know if we're getting messages from another being, whether they're good or bad, whether they have our interests at heart or not? What is a higher being? Where do we begin? Where do we end? It raises so many issues about who we are as people and our relationship with the universe.
Right. And I titled this show The Human Experiment, which is a metaphor for life. And it's about the school of life. And it's about spiritual growth and development and the law of expanding consciousness and how we as human spirits contribute to the collective consciousness, to the growth of the universe, of the creator itself, as my own philosophy and my own metaphysical theory of life. Other beings often experience life as human as well, higher powers I don't know. I guess there's a lot of interesting ideas that we share on Facebook and in the social networks and just in our networks with each other about how this all works. But
there's almost like there's a there's a diversity, sometimes there's a hierarchical structure, there's almost an infinite number of ways in which, I guess, humans can have a relationship with other beings. It's just amazing when you think about it.
And this has certainly been happening to me more and more as I continue to have my own spiritual awakening. I've been having much more contact with the spirit world and with my own inner guide or guides. And it's really interesting. As you gain clarity and you come to know yourself and your thoughts and beliefs more and more, your own consciousness sort of, and your own awareness, your higher awareness increases. And so your connection to the source increases as well and becomes clearer.
I guess, David, for a lot of people, they have a very significant awakening, don't they, like you had? Isn't that the way it's, you know, I guess some people perhaps have guides from a very early age, but I think the vast majority of people that will have these experiences have an actual awakening that's, you know, that has a lot of va-voom, you know.
Some people seem to be born with the talent. Often people develop it throughout their lives through meditation.
Certainly for you, it was quite an amazing experience, wasn't it? Really sort of a issue.
Yeah, it was. I've seen something that some people call shadow people. I've seen in classic out-of-body experiences, I've seen the dark cloud that we often talk about, a dark cloud hanging over your head, because some beings are a bit parasitic, as human beings can be. They feed off of negative energy. There's entities that feed off of positive energy. They're attracted to us for many reasons. I've also seen other humanoid beings. I don't know what they were. They seemed a bit threatening and intimidating. However, like when we were speaking to Michael last night, we were talking about how once you become aware that these spirits are in your life and that you're being influenced by them, it's sort of like the jig's up, because now you have more control. You have freedom in how you deal with them. And when I first came into contact with some of these entities, I was frightened because I didn't know what they were. And over time, I came to realize I myself am a powerful being. I am a creator. I am a co-creator of the universe. I don't have to fear these beings, and they have no power over me. And once you know that, they no longer, you know, you have more choices available to you and options as to how you deal with these creatures.
Well, I guess, David, we need to state the fact that some of these beings are very good.
Yeah, many are very helpful.
Some are negative. I don't know if you have neutral beings or not.
I mean, we're looking at this like as good and bad and good and evil and anyhow. And I think after we got done talking to Michael Tullinger, I was talking about how in Star Wars, and Michael Tullinger said this as well, that the movies are often used as a way of communication to humanity. And I agree with this, like Star Wars and The Matrix. And in Star Wars, I was talking to Lana about how we labeled Darth Vader as almost being the ultimate evil. However, in Return of the Jedi, we found that the Emperor was actually the overlord, and Darth Vader served him. And in the end, Darth Vader turned on the Emperor and became evolved as a spirit and joined Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda, Master Yoda, as a spirit, and sort of found his light.
So, David, are you saying we have to be careful not to label?
We have to be careful about duality in our labels and putting meaning to things outside of us, because sometimes things are just acting within their nature. And this is what we talked to Michael about, how a great white shark is simply doing what's in its nature when as a carnivore, and crocodiles and mosquitoes and many things. And humans have a way of looking at things outside ourselves in relationship to what it does for us and whether we see it as positive or negative.
Okay, so it's important not to judge or misjudge spirits or entities. However, it's important for us to be sovereign and not to be taken over. And so we have to be aware if we're feeling that something is taking over us or influencing us. We have to develop an awareness, don't we?
We do, and we do that by knowing ourselves and getting in touch with ourselves and our emotions and our thoughts and really knowing what's true for us and what we stand for. And even more than that, just really getting in touch with our higher source and our awareness and our intuition and all of these senses that are basically inactivated in most of us because we don't really take the time to use them.
Okay, so talking about higher sources obviously are something that seen as positive without wanting to label it. It's something for our higher good. I wonder how we feel, how do we differentiate between something which is a higher source or something which is a spirit entity that might masquerade as a higher source but is trying to influence us? How do we tell the difference?
Again, I think that's about knowing ourselves and how we feel about things. I think we talked with Michael about how we're always being contacted. I mean, we're always being influenced by things outside of us, by spirits outside of us, through the media, through the... What Michael said is is a lie. Everything you know is a lie. And what I would say is, I would change that and I would say, how did we put that? We don't know the truth about reality.
We can't say that everything is a lie, but can you say everything's an illusion? You can. It's not that reality doesn't exist, but it doesn't exist in the way that we think it is.
No, I would say that everything is an illusion. And when I say that everything is an illusion, that doesn't mean it's all a lie, and it doesn't mean that the illusion isn't real. It means that you have to really open your mind up to accepting new ideas and not believing that you know everything, because reality is very different from the way we understand it. And there are many levels of reality, and there's many things happening all at the same time on many different levels of reality. And we are being influenced in many different ways. And even the way human beings are made, food tastes good and sex feels good. Pain also. Why we have to ask ourselves questions. Why is that? Why does food taste good?
This is something we were discussing last night, and it's a bit frightening to think about the fact that that we were genetically engineered as a slave race for possibly the Anunnaki to mine gold, and that our bodies were engineered in a way that allows us to be enslaved. The very fact that we have a nervous system which can cause us to feel pain.
Yeah, we are manipulated by pleasure and pain. We are motivated by pleasure and pain. And I know this, I'm not sure totally about the history of Anunnaki. I know many people in the network are familiar with these things, but and the origins of humanity, Michael certainly is. But I do know that we have to ask ourselves those questions. Do we need to actually feel pain? Why were we made to feel pain? And what is the purpose of that? And it's important to ask these questions. Why does food taste good? Why are we motivated to eat? Obviously, to stay alive and survive. And also, we seem to be motivated by pleasure to reproduce and have offspring. And
mind is such a big part of the human condition. Would we want to not feel pleasure?
Yeah.
It would be robotic if we didn't.
Yeah.
It'd be good not to feel pain. Sometimes pain can help us, though.
This all goes to the meaning of life and our purpose on this planet. And so how did this all start? We need to ask ourselves these questions. Why do we see certain colors? Why do we have certain physical senses? How did this all start? And certainly, why don't we remember things coming into this world? What is this amnesia that we have, you know? Why don't we remember, most of us remember our past lives?
So I guess what you're saying, David, is people that are beginning to feel, experience spirits maybe talking to them or channeling or have an awakening, it's really important through all this experience to try to stay centered and try to find out what all these experiences are doing for you. Is it evolving you, or does it feel like you're being controlled and enslaved? I think that's an important discriminating factor, isn't it?
Yes, and I mean, I go into all kinds of things related to conspiracies and what's going on in the world right now, which we did last night. We had a long discussion about a lot of these things.
In terms of actually determining whether something is for your good or not, it can be tricky, can't it?
But like I said, once you have this awareness, it gives you more options and more choices about how you live your life and what you're willing to accept and tolerate. Mm. And
maybe you could tell us a bit about the higher power that you've started to experience. I don't know whether you call it channeling a lot, but you've been getting quite a lot of downloads, haven't you?
Yeah, this has been an interesting time for me this past week, and it's been distressing, actually, yes, for both of us, sure. I think, because we've been going through so much. But what I call my higher power has been emerging more and more, and I've been dealing with past lives who often come forward because, as we've talked about with Michael and with other people we've talked about on the show, time with spirits, spirits see time in as a single point, and so they can see in the past or the future or any event in the moment, in the present moment. So past lives can come forward and work with you in the present, in your present life. And
they, what's it like? I mean, future, it must be quite confusing for someone like that to
it
happen.
Can be. That's metaphysics. Even your future life can send you, alternate egos can send you information to change the past, which also changes the future. All of this gets very confusing. Mm.
So, but are you? Could you tell us about your higher power? Are you feeling comfortable?
Yeah, it's something I've been trying to understand more and more. I have one called Arthur, who's been with me for many years. That's the writer. I also have.
He's a past life, though.
I believe so.
Yeah. But so you can actually maybe sometimes get a past life influencing your current life.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, because of the way things work. And that's our understanding. See, that's our confusion and our lack of understanding about reality.
So what about Ishmael?
Ishmael is someone new. And this is interesting because Ishmael is a being that some friends in our network and past guests in our show have detected and talked to me about, which I didn't even know, a black-caped druid. Alexander Meters brought this up, and so did Patrick McCormick, who channels Kartron. And it become more... I was aware of this presence with me, and he...
Did you fight against it? Did you accept it? What was it like at first?
It's really strange, you know, because it's emerged over time. I don't know. I don't know what to think.
I guess my experience with watching this happening to you is that you've been trying to process and try to sense the meaning of it. And once you perhaps understood the message that this being had and his purpose in your life, then it became easier once you figured out what it was that Ishmael was wanting, which is, of course, wanting to free humanity. Ishmael, if I could say, is a very intelligent, passionate being who has been fighting the enslavement of humanity, the Anunnaki and the Illuminati enslaved, for thousands of years. And so he feels very passionate about freeing humanity. That passion, though, that anger, can sometimes cause some confusion, I guess, emotionally in you. But what's happened, I think, over the last week or so is there's been a greater understanding of how you and him can work together. But it also raises the issue of sovereignty. You know, do you allow a higher being to enter your mind? And in your case, it's even more perhaps complicated because you feel that he's sort of like a past life or like a collective that you are of past lives.
Right. I mean, originally I thought of my higher power as a collective of spirits, almost like he describes it almost as like a corporation like Microsoft with because we're all one, the law of one, we are all connected. It's almost like a large corporation or a government agency where there are many spirits operating within the collective, and there are different, they all have roles and responsibilities. There's a spokesperson like Bill Gates, and then there's Microsoft itself, which is the corporate entity. And this particular collective has been called many things. It's been called Aries. It's been battling, apparently, for thousands of years against other collective entities that have other names. I'm not feeling like...
Is it specifically battling to free humanity?
No. See, this is where human beings get into this thing about giving meaning out to things outside of themselves and labeling things as dark and light and good and evil, when in fact... It's all been manipulation. Human beings have been manipulated just like we manipulate the other species on our planets, like cows and sheep and pigs for our own purposes. There are many beings on this planet that share this planet with us. We think this planet, this is now Ishmael sort of speaking through me.
Oh, there, really? Are you channeling now?
In a sense, yes.
Okay, well, that's interesting. That was a gradual transition.
There's a transition here. Okay. It's a very seamless transition. Okay. There are many species on our planet, and this planet was not made for human beings, I'm sorry to say. This is a shared planet.
And so it sounds like do I call you Ishmael now, or
no,
Ishmael stroke David?
It
sounds like the advocacy that Ishmael has is for the planet rather than humanity then?
I think at this point Ishmael has a lot of frustration about, especially he suffered a huge defeat against Yahweh, the being you call Yahweh in the Old Testament. And I know this is controversial, and this is just my stuff, but there's a lot of anger and frustration over this and over the slaving of humanity for thousands of years and the manipulation of religion. And
so he's an advocate for humanity as well as for Earth.
Well, he now calls himself Ishmael the Redeemer, but I guess what I'm trying to say is you could look at Aries as the god of war. That's one name that his collective has been given, and he's, you know, there's been a lot of bloody battles against the one that you might call Satan or Lucifer or whatever name you'd give. But there's many gods, there's many higher powers, there's many beings, there's many alien races, there's many multidimensional beings on this planet, there are many species on this planet who exist just like human beings, and there are many ones that you might think of as negative entities, or many that are many helpful and angelic beings that enter this world.
Is the goal to make sure that beings on Earth are sovereign and not influenced or hurt by others? Is that the goal? Is that the mission, to free humanity and Earth from enslavement?
The goal is not about humanity. It's not about human beings.
What is it about?
It's about each individual sovereign being, and it's about their own species, and it's about their relationship with this planet and with each other. And
but presumably the goal is for beings to be sovereign and not to be hurt or taken over by anybody.
No, actually, no. A lot of it has to do with dominance and power with many species, like the Anunnaki. And even within the Anunnaki are no longer the original Anunnaki as we thought of them thousands of years ago. Just like with human beings, we've split into
lots of different consciousnesses.
No, I mean, we have Chinese, we have Spanish, we have, Anunnaki have done this as well on many different planets and on this planet as well.
So if we can give Ishmael a voice, what would Ishmael like to, what is it that he would like to see done?
Well, Ishmael now at this point has had a lot of guilt and regret over how things have gone on this planet. And there's still a bit of, I think he still wants to go into battle, to be honest.
we don't want to battle.
Well, on a different way, because we know that conventional war and conventional thinking has not served us. So, we now have to change our thinking and our paradigm and our way of doing things. Okay. We need to be more creative and think outside of the matrix, because we are enslaved on this planet. And
I think that might be one goal, but perhaps we need the message to be clarified a bit more. Ooh. Now, Susan, you're here?
Hello? I am. Hello.
Hi, Susan. Hi. Well, we're going to take a music break, but... I don't know. Things are heating up so much here. It's a very exciting discussion. Maybe we should continue on. If we can just introduce Susan. So Susan Glynn, a very good friend of ours.
And she's been a past guest on our show before.
So Susan represents she's one of the first people in Australia to do the healing codes. So Susan is a spiritual healer and a
personal development coach, I think.
So thank you for coming on our show, Susan.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm delighted to be here.
Of course, Susan's from Australia.
Yes.
Just like we are in Australia.
Yeah.
And Susan and I met quite a few years ago and really bonded. You know, Susan's very much like my soul sister.
Yeah, I know we often have, we talk to Susan quite a bit.
Yes.
When we're having our struggles in life, and she's a very positive influence and
wonderful
very, person.
Very spiritually evolved. In fact, Susan, you have a website, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's connected to the Healing Codes as a program that I work with, but it tells a good deal about me personally, and folk can contact me for any reason, and it's www.thehealingcodes.com.au, and codes has an S on it, it's plural. So thehealingcodes.com.au. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you. So I'm not sure how much of that of our initial radio show you heard, but we're talking about humans and the relationship between humans and other entities in the universe, higher entities, perhaps lower entities.
Guides. Even when you say higher entities and lower entities, I think that's sort of a label, but
it is a label, yeah.
But anyhow,
but we tend to think of some as positive, some as negative, and dare I, become talking dualistic terms. But of course, some
angels and demons, and
some guides have our interests at heart. Some guides do. I think the word guide does mean you are guided.
That.
But you can also have entities that want to influence you, perhaps not necessarily
for their own self-interest, and they tend to be much more malicious.
But they're
operating within their nature, and we have to understand why they just like human beings.
Yeah, and we have to differentiate between that. You have to sort of center yourself, and if people are getting these experiences, you have to decide whether to protect yourself from them or accept and allow yourself to open up to that.
And that's Susan, called clarity and discernment.
Absolutely. Susan, can you tell us a little bit about your awakening and when you started perhaps experiencing other guides and other spirits?
Certainly. I could add to just what you were saying there with the point that one of the main things that I have found for myself is that by actually directing the energy, I have been able to somehow or other sort through and not have influence from entities that are of not such pure essence. I suppose I describe it like that. And so gradually, because I have kept on requiring that more and more truth come into what I would just want pure truth, I say, to spirit. And I find that actually has heightened the purity of the essence that comes through to me, and it becomes stronger. It also becomes clearer because a more skilled entity has the capacity to connect with us more effortlessly than perhaps one that's not quite so pure and not so practiced.
That's a pretty good point, Susan. So You're consciously directed.
We're in charge, Lana. I believe it seems that we are in charge. We can say, some people will say, and this is a little bit of an aside, but it's such a useful thing to know. A lot of people do find that when they begin to get a message, they find that they are getting a lot of experience, passion out of that. And I describe a lot of the different entities that you spoke about just as interference patterns, so that I don't necessarily put a label to it. And I just describe it more broadly like that. But some people have a lot of difficulty with that. And a number of my friends have said to me, oh, yes, but then this happens and I feel scattered and I can't connect properly. And And I say, you have the capacity to drive this more directly, more clearly. You speak to spirit. You can say, bring this in, please. Pure truth only.
But,
no dark entities are welcome around me at all. And this began for me a long while back. I was just having a shower, and it began to just arrive with me, oh, it'd be a good idea for me to pour in some unconditional love, because I was into unconditional love at that point in time. Now that I realize it's 528 hertz, I've gone higher. I've gone for pure love that is that the people who've gone into the afterlife and come back speak about, because that to me is the pure love that source essence puts out. So I speak to that more now. But at that point, it was unconditional love, and I was just infilling with the unconditional love. I was asking for light to enfold me and plugging my mind into all knowing, which is like...
So, Susan, can I ask you, why did you, when you started doing that, was that as a conscious effort to make sure that any spirits were positive and had your own interests at heart, or was it that you were focused on unconditional love and then the spirits
came? Purely on impulse, Lana. Purely on impulse. I was in the shower and I just thought, right, I'd just like to be a being of light filled with love, so that when a person gives me a hug, they just feel love. The simplicity of that. And
it's interesting.
I started with that. Then it was to ask my mind to be plugged into all knowing, give me only pure truth. And then I said, well, no dark entities are welcome around me. Don't even begin to try. Don't even walk past me.
It
worked, guys. It worked like if I couldn't believe in that. I was doing this for several years, and then I began mixing with a particular group that were very empathic, very sensitive people, and so many of them were saying, oh, can I just have another hug? I just feel so much love when you hug me. And I'm thinking, really? And then I stopped and realized that, gee, maybe my little routine under the shower had actually worked. But to answer your question more directly about guides and things, I think I felt my mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, many years ago, and I've felt that my grandma has been around me a long time. There have been incidences where various different people have skills as mediums, and they have actually physically described grandma standing next to me, and this impacted me so strongly. I thought, gee, she's got so many grandchildren. Why pick me? What is it about me? But it was so comforting, Lana. It was so all-embracing, David. It was just a delightful experience. But over the years, various other life experiences have happened. And I began doing, about 20 years ago, I began doing energy healing. And I found that my simple process there was to say, all right, if love is what I want, but fears are the interference pattern, I'm just going to clear fears. And that was my main simple intention. And I've used a number of different processes, and I've been using the healing codes for 10 years now, and I find them to be probably the baseline, most powerful, most completing and complete in themselves process to make a difference to myself.
So the healing codes are certainly a great way of raising your vibrations, but also, you know, just the intention. I'd like to focus on the connection and relationship we have with other spirit beings. But I'm really impressed by the fact that you had the sovereignty to actually say all you were going to accept was only the highest of power, and that was your sovereignty. And
that's,
I think that,
that's
a really important point for people that are experiencing these things and might be a bit frightened.
Which was different from my experience, where I experienced, if I don't mind labeling them as dark beings or more negative experiences, And but when I met you, Susan, it was really interesting because we met you in the tantra community and in a tantra class is where I met you first. And you actually, and we've said this before on the radio show, one of my experiences with you was where I was in a tantra class one night where I was in a tremendous amount of pain and I almost felt like I was being stabbed by a knife and I thought I might have to go to the emergency room. And you, Lana, did something first, a little bit of energy healing, and then you touched my stomach or something, and I actually felt something come out of me, and you got rid of it, whatever it was. It was a very strange experience that night, but I've learned that
it was.
I resonate with your ideas, and I have a good feel about you, and you're actually in Aries too, which is interesting, and so we often have these conversations.
Because we're talking about the relationship of man with other spirit beings, I'd be interested in exploring what our relationship is. Because it sounds like there are some beings that are there just for us, like guides. There are some beings that want to manipulate us negatively, but once again, they are there to try to perhaps suck our energy.
But that's like human beings, as above, so below.
That's right,
it's the same in the spirit world as it is in the human world.
That's right.
It's not about good or bad. It's about how your relationships with people, just as it is with spirits.
Yeah, yeah. So I just wonder.
Can I just chip in?
Sure.
Alana, can I just finish what I was saying? Because I would have answered all of that for you. What had happened for me was that because my intention was so definite and because my shower routine and then my experiences with Grandma were showing me I was accompanied in some way, I kept talking to what I just called my angels, because I could feel that beside Grandma was other strength, I suppose, that was there, and it was waiting basically for me to speak up. It wasn't.
How did you sense that? This is an important point for people that want to develop that. How did you sense
stronger.
That there was other energy?
I felt it stronger. It just got stronger, and I realized that because I was speaking to it, and I was getting answers back in the way in which my life was unfolding. And as I was saying to you before, starting to do energy processes, my grandma and my father's spirit, my father passed away when I was 15, and I was on very untidy communication lines with him at the time he passed away, and I was angry for a long time, but then mended that. And my father came through in that with my grandma in my very first experiences with energy, and I just knew that I was being supported, and I could feel these. It's like a sensing of familiarity, Lana, that, this is an angel whose name I know. In other words, it's a person to whom I've related in life. They've lived in the body in life with me, and that's an angel whose name I know. And I'd have about 9 of those support around me now. That's gathered over a period of time. But what my point was about the energy healing is, as I began to, with my simple intention to just clear my fears, to take the clear the negative out, whatever was a disturbing, dense energy, just transmute that to love. And the more I have done that over the last 20 years, the more that spirit has been able to access me and give me more answers to, because I've continued to talk to my angels all of that time, I have got amazing experiences. Then, about 11 years ago, my late husband passed away with melanoma cancer. And quite clearly, he has been highly instrumental in guiding me, because I could feel that his spirit, he was not really what we would describe as being a spiritual person, and yet he had amazing access to his spirit and would come forward with incredible things and then look at me and say, well, what was that? And expect me to explain it.
It's interesting that he didn't seem like a spiritual person, yet he was connected to his spirit.
Not at all.
Yeah. You know,
That's the thing. He just was. He just knew. And I said to him, do you understand? You are an incredible ancient sage. Listen to the wisdom that pours out of you at varying times. It would just rise out of his spirit, come out of his mouth, and I'd say, there, right there, what you just said there, that is a message direct from spirit, unbelievable, beautiful wisdom. Mm-hmm. Can you feel it? Wow. And of course he could, because he was very sensitive. He just didn't own up to it.
Now, Susan, you like David, you have also a higher being, I believe it, Isaac, who you, I don't know that you'd say you channel him. It's more of a connection.
I was coming to that. What I was going to say was that because my late husband has clearly had this incredibly powerful aspect to him, I did actually think that he was just going to transcend to realms beyond after he passed away, because his spirit, I could feel it burgeoning and the power of it while he was in life, even though he was sick and passed away with melanoma cancer, and I nursed him till he passed. Although that happened, something extremely powerful was going on. His connection with me, coming through various different people who are mediums and other friends of mine who have sensitivities. And there are so many times he has come through and discussed and been part of a discussion and so on. And that continues to happen. And as time has gone on, the more I have been persistent and consistent in clearing my fears, it feels to me that the more the aspect of me that is clear and open for spirit to drop into me has accelerated. And I happen to be working with energy testing within my work with the healing codes, and I'd learned to energy test about 11 years ago with other simpler processes. I'd just been practicing with it. And I was staying with a friend one day, and the friend said to me, so, Susie, I need you to test on some things for me. And we just began testing whatever this guy wanted me to test. And then I began to say, now, hang on a minute. There's extra information coming with this. This isn't just yes and right. No. This is editorial. And I began to sense that there was an entity sitting on my right-hand side, like in an easy chair, with the most cheeky, relaxed, laconic, chuckling kind of beautiful humor and relaxed way about this entity. And it felt masculine, quite clearly, distinctly masculine, because I can sense sometimes with some of my other guides, there's just a certain amount of either a feminine or a masculine aspect. But here, with this, was quite definitely masculine.
And this Sorry? Is Isaac, which it stuns me. And I guess there really is no synchronicity. No, there is a reason for everything. And it's interesting that you called just at the time that our other guests had canceled.
That's amazing.
And I come to find out that your guide or your higher spirit is Isaac, because mine is Ishmael. Mine has identified itself as having a past life as the biblical Ishmael, who was the brother of Isaac, the half-brother of Isaac. So this was a really strange thing to happen right before the show.
Isn't it?
I don't know what to make of that, but, yes.
I guess that I would say that I quite clearly feel, as we were speaking about before, it's not necessarily that the Isaac that, because I was going to finish off with what happened while I was testing for this friend, and I noticed this editorial. My friend said to me, well, ask it. What's going on? Why is it talking to you? And the answer came back, oh, I'm just here for you. And I said, fine, what for? To support me? And you ask for pure truth, I'm giving it to you, was the answer for that. And then my friend said, what's its name? And the answer was actually laughter to start with. It was just this relaxed, funny laughter. And he said, oh, I guess you can call me Isaac. And as soon as he said the name Isaac, it printed in great big capital letters, I-Z-Z-A-C, right in front of my...
Oh, he even gave you the spelling, did he?
On my screen.
Plus, we spell Isaac with two S's in English, which wasn't necessarily the case.
I don't actually... So I don't actually connect this person, this entity, this support as my as a biblical connection at all.
I don't necessarily gave that name.
But I would say to you that the next thing I said was, so who are you to me? What is your place in relation to me? And he said,
I am your eternal guide. And for our listeners out there, it sounds like that might be another step you could do if you, you know, you make sure that you only invite in good spirits and anything of the highest vibration, and then also to clarify the relationship.
Yes, we do, I feel, have, and Isaac keeps on giving me, oh, my God, give me the confidence to know that what feels intrinsically, authentically right, direct from the heart of who I am, that is the pure truth that I need to keep on working towards and putting into my life. And so long as I stay centered with that, this eternal guide, this amazing Isaac, has given me such a feeling of just being relaxed and confident with me. Now, there is also my mother. My mother passed away 18, 19 years ago, and I had always had this little feeling. She'd actually made an arrangement with me before passing that she would give me a sign. Well, heavens, I've got a book full of signs that she's given me. Yeah. Never mind one. Yeah. And I feel that she is, like when she's with me and that comes and goes, she's on a cloud just above my right shoulder. And she leans off her cloud and she stirs in my life and she does all sorts of fun things. And she's got a lovely way about her, has my mother. And yet there are some times I say to her, you've got to be careful, you're going to fall off your cloud if you start stirring up my life too much, you know. And we both can laugh. There's an immense amount of humour involved. A laconic sort of a humour that's involved in the interplay between me and my guides I have found. Well,
certainly a lot of people have a relationship with relatives that have passed. Mm. But also we have some people channel beings from other planets, aliens.
Oh, sure. You know, like Jonah Bolt, I think he does Acturians. And,
yes.
But you know what's interesting, Susan, is I wonder where my Ishmael tends to be a bit angry about a lot of past life experiences.
Yes,
I do learn. I talk to you quite a bit during the week, once a week or so, and I tend to learn a lot. I wonder, because my guide within me, Ishmael, and then there's a few others, they experience what I experience, and so they learn what I learn. And so when you speak to me, it's maybe sometimes it's like my Ishmael is learning from your Isaac when you're speaking to me, and I'm getting new ideas about how to operate and how to set negative emotions free and let go of things and learn to live a better quality life and grow.
So that raises an interesting issue, that there are some spirits or guides that are there to guide you, but you might have other situations where other spirits may be using you for their own evolution. And that might not necessarily be a bad thing.
No,
it's a different type of relationship, though, isn't it?
Because we are all one, so we're all sort of growing together, human spirits and higher spirits and guides. We're all sort of, it's a group effort. It's a collective growth.
Mm. You know, but that's not your usual, though. I mean, most people would think of guides as just knowing all the answers and guiding you. But what we don't realize is you can have a different relationship where they're actually growing with you.
Sure, I believe the universe itself expands and grows.
Well, so. I know you've also said that you believe that God grows through us.
Yeah,
that's
God
a really interesting.
God experienced the creator experiencing life as human, just as higher powers and spirits experience life as
human. That's almost an inverted relationship. And in fact, I remember that I knew this wonderful man, professor of who had a past life experience, and he was saying the universe experiences life through him. Oh, I think we're out of time, folks. What an interesting discussion. We'll have to do this again. Look, we'll have to say goodbye now. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
And this is Universal Soul Life.
Thanks, guys. All the best.
Hope you all have a wonderful week, all our listeners. And goodbye from us, and catch you next week.
Yep, we'll see you next time on Universal Saw. Thank you, Susan.
Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.